Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for what you have in store for us. We magnify your name. We seek that only you be glorified, not us, not man, oh God. We attribute everything that is of value, of worth to you. It's from you that we are, and it's by you that we are. We are your people and the sheep of your hand. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please turn to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Turn to the other one and say you'll be blessed because you came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So today, I want to talk to us, minister to us about big things out of small things. Glory to God. I don't know if my title is well articulated, but as we go along, you'll tell me if I've named it correctly. But big things out of small things. Glory to God. Now, in the Bible, as you know, the Bible gives us several examples of how people in different situations were enabled to overcome or to match up to things that were far greater than themselves. Praise the Lord. For instance, Israel itself, when it was led into the Promised Land in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 38, okay, if you begin from verse 37, the Bible says, "And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought you out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations before you greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day." Praise the name of Jesus. So God tells, he's using his mouthpiece, the man of God, to tell the nation that he brought you into a land with driving out nations that were far greater and mightier than you were. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The same thing was re-echoed in chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, just three chapters down. It says, verse 1, are you there? Okay. Are you there? All right. It says, "When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are going to possess it and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you are." Praise the Lord. The same thing recurs in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1 also. It says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven." Hallelujah. So we see in the scriptures that, given this one example and others that I'm going to show you, God often led people to overcome, to challenge, and to prevail over forces that were greater than themselves. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at those examples and also to look at how they did it. I believe you'll be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to, there's another example of Jonathan. You remember Jonathan says this famous statement we tend to quote sometimes. It's in Samuel. Let me find it for you. But she has a scripture. She will also cite it for us. You remember Jonathan is going into the camp of the enemy, and he tells his, I think it was his armor bearer, he told him that 1 Samuel chapter 14, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by what? Or by few." So this happens with Jonathan. You see it happen with Gideon again. He marshals armies from his people to fight the, who are those people? The Midianites. He gathers thousands of them. Still the thousands were not as many as the enemy. But the Lord told him these people are too many. Told him, tell those who are fearing to go back. One man of God made a comment about that and said Gideon was such a mobilizer, he even got cowards to come to fight. Hallelujah. He says, those who are fearing, go back home. And they went back, but at least they had come. Hallelujah. He said, let's represent. We have to do this thing. But they told him, it's okay, you came, but now you can go back. Hallelujah. And still the people were too many. So God told Gideon to take the people down to the river and to see how they drink water from the river. I think it's the ones who were lapping the water like dogs that were chosen or were sent back home. One of the two. Hallelujah. I don't know why the Lord chose that criteria, but lo and behold, that's what he chose. And the number was cut down to 300. And with these 300, Gideon was empowered to vanquish the mighty enemies. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Glory to God. Now, let's go to another example. This time of King Asa. You remember King Asa? One time King Asa was assailed by an army of Ethiopians. Wow, the Bible has stories, I'm telling you. The Bible says these Ethiopians were 1,000 in the King James Bible, which means they were 1,000,000. Hallelujah. And the Lord showed King Asa what to do, and they defeated the enemies. Hallelujah. Let's read there. Second Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 9. Wow. Let's begin from verse 8. It says, "And Asa had an army of men that bore targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin those that bore shields and drew bows, 280,000, that's 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." Then verse 9 says, "And there came out against them." Hallelujah. So these are 300,000. That's a mighty force. "But there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host," or with a host of 1,000,000. "And 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with what? Or with them that have no power." Hallelujah. I think that at one point or another, that includes us. Amen. The day you thought you had many, you have 300,000. Then the other person brings 1,000, 1,000. Hallelujah. So he says to the Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Hallelujah. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see, go down two chapters, to chapter 16, and see how the Lord brought this back to King Asa to show him. Now, King Asa, in chapter 16, was attacked by another army. And what does he do? He goes to an enemy king and makes a deal with him to help him fight these other what? These other invaders. And then the Lord tells him, you man, how many were the Ethiopians? Hallelujah. Let's read verse 7. It says, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your what? And so he consorted with an enemy to fight another enemy. And the Lord told him, you've made two mistakes. First of all, you have not relied on me who helped you overcome a much bigger enemy last time. But secondly, you have allied with an enemy who was planning for you to deal with next. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now he's escaped out of your hands. Look at verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Amen. And now verse 9, which we normally quote. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Hallelujah. Herein you have done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you shall have wars. Praise the Lord. So again, we see what happened with Israel. He led them into the promised land. Empowered them to defeat seven nations which were greater and mightier than them. Same thing happens with Jonathan, who says there's no restraint for the Lord to save by many or by few. Then it comes with Asa, who almost saying the same words like Jonathan, says, Lord, help us. These enemies are too great for us, but for you it is nothing to help by many. Or by few, or to help those who have no power. Hallelujah. And the Lord delivered him, and the Lord reminds him now when he turns to human help and tells him, last time I helped you on a much bigger problem than what you have now. Praise the Lord. You have done foolishly, because from now you are going to have wars and wars and wars and wars. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. So I want to take from that. There are still more examples I'll give. But I want to take from that and bring it into our salvation walk and show us that God has planned for us to challenge things that we are outmatched for, outnumbered for, outsized for. It's basically David and Goliath. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You know what happened with David and Goliath? David did not defeat Goliath because he was like Goliath. But he defeated him because of the principle that be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. That is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 8. It's not telling you to be strong in your strength, but to be strong in the what? In the Lord. But the good thing about the things of God, if you continue being strong in the Lord, you will eventually be strong indeed. You get that? In other words, by David being strong in the Lord and being strong in the Lord and being strong in the Lord, he got to where he was strong indeed. Praise the Lord. What I mean by that, he became a warrior in his own right. Like he said, the Lord has taught me how to what? To war. He has taught my hands to war. And by me, he breaks a bow. Even a bow of steel is broken in my hands. By him, I scale the wall. By him, I run through a troop. Praise the name of Jesus. So, there are two things in there that I'm going to show you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 17. Hallelujah. So, are you there? All right. So, Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Hallelujah. That's verse 18. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Then verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, or he that boasts, let him glory or boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture is showing us that here where he says, see your calling, it's saying, consider how you were when you got saved, or when the preaching of God came to you. There were not many mighty among you. There were not many noble among you. There were not many strong. But God has chosen the weak things of this world, the foolish things of this world. Yea, even the base things of this world, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Praise the Lord. There we are, back to what was happening to people in the Old Testament or in the times before we came around. Hallelujah. God was choosing weak, not noble, not wise, to vanquish, to defeat, to annihilate, to make to be nothing the things that were strong and wise and noble and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I could give you another story, but maybe not yet. So here, the scripture is telling us that now when you were in that state, a preacher came. Preachers came and preached to you that which should have been to you foolishness, because you are like everybody else. Why is it that to you, what was foolishness was acceptable. Hallelujah. Why is it that to you what was a stumbling block was the way of life? I don't know. But the good thing is that you accepted that we preach Christ, whom to the Jews is a stumbling block and to the Greeks is foolishness, but to us is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, I want to show you that there are two things here. One is, you could look at it, and many people tend to look at it that way, that this script, to them, this scripture is meaning that even after you're born again, you will still be as the weak and as the foolish and so on and so forth. And God will be using you as you are to defeat that which is greater than you and wiser and so on and so forth. But we need to see how does the Bible present it. My opinion is, but I'm going to bring in an exception. My opinion is that this is how you were, but because you received Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God, like I said with David, if you continue being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, which is not your might, it is his might, soon his might will become your might. Isn't it? And his wisdom will become your wisdom, so you will no longer just be the wise or those made wise with his wisdom, but those who become wise indeed and strong indeed. Does that make sense? In other words, that which you keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing eventually becomes yours. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're looking at the Corinthians. This is how they were when they were called. Go to chapter 4 and see how they became after they were called. Now, in chapter 4, we could begin from verse 6, where Paul is sort of concluding his talk about, some say they are of Paul, some are of Apollos, some are of Peter. Then in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, are you there? It says, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure or figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos, and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is what? Above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Now, verse 7 says, "For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have?" You see, I'm taking out the these and thous and so on, just for easy reading. So it says, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it?" Then in verse 8, he says, "Now you are full. Now you are what? You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you." Remember, he says, not many noble, not many mighty, but now he's saying, these who are not many noble, not many mighty, have reigned as kings, and they are rich, and they are full. And just so you don't think he's meaning some spiritual reigning, he says in verse 9, actually before he ends that verse 8, he says, "And I would to God you did reign, that we might reign with you." Praise the Lord. So he's talking about real reigning. Okay, you could say they were reigning in life as kings, like how Romans 5:17 says. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now verse 10, let's first go to verse 10. He says, "We are fools for Christ's sake." Now he's talking about himself and the apostles. "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are what? You are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, or you are honorables, but we are despised." Praise the name of Jesus. So, you see your calling. How that not many mighty, not many noble, not many strong are called, but God has chosen the best things of this world to confound the mighty, to confound the noble, and so on. To bring to naught the things that are. How has he done it? Through the preaching of Christ, who is the power of God, and who is the what? The wisdom of God. Do you see that? Now, I wanted to show you there that this scripture therefore means that it is not that it is foolishness that confounds the wise. You get that? It is not that it is foolishness per se that confounds the wise. The foolish person confounds the wise because he has a wisdom that is stronger than that of the wise. Hallelujah. And remember, he said that the weakness of God is stronger than men. And the foolishness of God is stronger than men. So it is not that foolishness is what is confounding the wise. Are you getting it? Like Daniel in Babylon did not outwit the magicians by being foolish. Are you getting that? He outwitted them by that which though to them appeared like foolishness. When he was done giving out his foolishness, it wasn't so foolish after all. Hallelujah. Because the weakness of God is stronger than what? Than men. And the foolishness of God is stronger than men. So I'm trying to tell you that the reason the weak confound the strong is because of Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So you become strong in his strength. And if you continue being strong in his strength, you become strong indeed. Hallelujah. And if you continue becoming wise in his wisdom, you become wise indeed. Like these people, when Paul is saying we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ, he's not just making a positive confession. You understand what I mean? He's saying that, you guys, when I see how you are being preached to, and I see what you are now, I envy you in a sense. Hallelujah. Because that which was foolish has now come to confound the wise. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let me show you one example of that. Now look at, go down to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 20. Are you there? So it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice be you children, but in understanding be what? Be men. You know, like when people say a man among men, hallelujah, they are saying in malice, in the worldly things, be children. That is why you can be considered as foolish. Hallelujah. But in understanding, be men. Now, notice when you are men in understanding, actually the ones who thought you are foolish will have to think again when they see how in the way you're doing your things, you see, wisdom is, the Bible says, you remember that story that Jesus told, where he said, what shall I liken the children of this generation? They are like, what shall I liken the men of this generation? They are like the children playing in the streets and crying. One is crying to the other, come and we have piped to you, but you have not mourned. No, we have piped to you, but you've not sung. We've sung for you a mournful song, but you've not mourned. And then he says, but wisdom is justified by its children. Hallelujah. And the way Bible teachers have interpreted that is that, you see, children are outcomes, isn't it? A child is an offspring or a result of something. So wisdom is known by its results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wisdom is justified by the outcomes it produces. Praise the Lord. So, for example, two kings come to Elisha, remember that story, and they tell him, that they are heading to war, but they've suffered serious difficulty because for, I think it was like 7 days or 3 days, they had moved without water. And their animals were dying and they are seeing trouble ahead. So they come to the prophet and the prophet says, if it were not because I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't look towards you or see you. Then he says, but bring a musician. So they bring a musician and the musician plays, and then the hand of the Lord came upon him, and then he told them, among other things, he told them, go and make ditches in the valley. Then he says, thus says the Lord, there will be no mist or rain, but in the morning the pools will be full of water, the ditches will be full of water. Now, that is foolishness. Like, there's already a drought, and then you're saying people should go and make ditches, and on top of that you're saying there will not be rain. Even now that what I'm saying is not that rain is coming. There's not going to be any rain or mist or vapor or anything, but they'll be full of water. And in the morning, surely, hallelujah. If I remember what happened, there was stream. The Lord opened some kind of a stream from somewhere and somewhere, and the ditches were full of water. Now, wisdom is justified by its what? By its children. When you find water there, now the foolish things become wisdom. The things that were sounding foolish become wisdom. And they are like that. Just like with Jacob and how his father-in-law cheated him of his wages. So then he went and he got sticks. I don't know how the sticks looked like or something, but he put the sticks where the animals were mating from. So it turned out that now the father-in-law had told him that all the animals that are striped or spotted or something would be his, which are the ones, I guess, that were supposed to be more rare. Hallelujah. Wow. The Bible says he catches the wise in their craftiness. So it turns out that as the animals were mating where the sticks were, the more of the offsprings of the animals that were produced were spotted. So this man who had been cheated 10 times of his wages still wound up having more animals and being repaid. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Then it says, leave it to the Lord and he will settle the accounts. Hallelujah. So, again, what am I saying? Wisdom, what overcomes wisdom is not foolishness. You understand? In any sense, once it overcomes the wisdom, it ceases to be foolishness. If it was foolishness, it has now gained a new reputation. Hallelujah. It has become wisdom. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says, in malice, be children. In things of this world, so to speak, be children. But in understanding, be men. In other words, you know your things. You may not know, I wanted to use one of these mathematical things. You may not know pi r squared. But you know that tithing equals prosperity. You know, you have money, but subtracting from it 10% will make it multiply. That is foolishness. Proverbs 11:24, is it, which says that there is he who scatters abroad but increases more. Then there is one who withholds more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. Wow. You don't know pi r squared, but you know that subtraction equals multiplication. Hallelujah. So what it means is that you know your thing. In your things, you be a kafulu. Hallelujah. In the other things, you don't know how guys get a circle, then they divide, then they do what? They shed the sector, then they divide, and they have all these, you know, snake-like things that they are doing on the paper. They arrive at some answer. Wow. Now, in Babylon, you remember, they brought the magicians, the sorcerers and all those were all together with the wise men. The wise men, the magicians, the sorcerers are all together. So you can imagine there are astrologers, astronomers, people studying stars and distances. They are mathematicians in the magicians and the sorcerers. So if those ones have been told, the king comes to them and tells them, tell me the dream and also tell me the interpretation. They say, there is no man on earth who has ever done such a thing. You first tell us the dream and then we shall tell you. Now, I learned that a long time ago. It's very easy to interpret things, but not to produce them. Hallelujah. The gift of interpretation of tongues is a much easier gift than the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. In other words, giving a message in tongues. If you told people, who wants to dare and give a message in tongues? You'll get nobody. But if someone gives a message in tongues and you say, who wants to interpret the tongue? Me, Pastor, interpretation is easy. Anyway, maybe you'll get that when you get back home. Hallelujah. So, now, they say, tell us the dream. Then we shall interpret it. And the king said, I know you guys, you're tricky. Today I'm not going to what? Play your games. You have to tell me the dream and also the interpretation. But they didn't. So they bring Daniel, a man in whom is an excellent spirit. Not foolishness. I told you it's not foolishness which confounds the wise. It's wisdom. It's just that your wisdom is not the wisdom of the Egyptians. You see that? Moses was a man skilled in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And then he was taken away. Oh, he went away. And then came back with the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, what was the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is you throw a stick down and it becomes a snake. Then the magicians also throw theirs down. And then instead, your snake swallows all the other snakes. There's a man of God who said you may not be able to what? To do better than what the magician is doing. But at least you can cancel what he's doing. Hallelujah. There's some missionary woman who was somewhere and some witch doctor challenged him. He told him he's going to levitate. So I don't know whether he lay on a table on a ground and he levitated. Man, this missionary woman cried to God and said, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't levitate. What am I going to do? And the Lord told him, you just put your foot on his stomach and push him back down. Foolishness, anyway. So she pushes the guy back on the ground and casts the devil out of him. And the devil came out of the guy. Who won? God won. Hallelujah. If you can't beat them, join them. No. If you can't beat them, cancel what they are doing. Surely, if you can't levitate, that doesn't mean you're out of options. Hallelujah. So if you make a snake, and they also make snakes, and then now you are angers, you're like, now God, what next? Just let your snake eat their snakes. Hallelujah. Anyway, so the man comes back with the wisdom of God. And what is the wisdom of God doing? The wisdom of God is producing lice, frogs, blood in the river, darkness for 3 days. That doesn't sound like the wisdom of God. But man, wisdom is justified by its what? When people see frogs they've never seen, people are being eaten by lice, they will get a clue in their heads that there is a living God. Hallelujah. That's how it is. Praise the name of Jesus. So, I wanted to emphasize, it is not foolishness that confounds the wise. It is not we. I know Samson, by all estimation, was not a strong man in natural sense. But you cannot say that after being strong in the Lord, carrying gates up the hills, tying foxes. You can carry gates, but how do you tie torches on 300 foxes, and then you guide them into a... a field to burn up some people's produce. I mean, whatever feats he did, when you exercise yourself in godliness, exercise yourself in the power of God, you will become strong indeed. You will become wise indeed. That is why it always has to be brought back to your attention that how did you become how you became? Hallelujah. It wasn't by yourself, but it was the power of God. Now, nevertheless, that does not mean that you cannot own what God has given you. If God has made you wise, you can actually own what he has given you and say you are wise, but not in yourself. You are wise in Christ. You are strong in the Lord. You're not just making a positive confession. The confession becomes reality. But even after it becomes reality, you still remember that it is not you, but it is him, hallelujah, who has given you these mighty exploits. So, we look at Elisha and Hezekiah also facing the same thing. Do we have to go there? Or I can just cite it for you. It is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 17. And also 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 and 8. Why I bring up these stories? Because they have a similar statement in there where Elisha is telling his servant who is seeing these armies who have attacked their village, and is telling him, don't be afraid because there are more that are with us than are with what? With them. And then he prays to God and says, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire and armies and so on. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 7 and 8, now this time it was Sennacherib, the Assyrian king who had attacked Judah. And Hezekiah counsels these people and tells them, don't be afraid of this king, because with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to do what? To help us. But he prefaced that by saying, there are more that are with us than that are with them. Hallelujah. All that are with him. Praise the Lord. Now, I wanted to relate that for you to the scripture we quote many times, which says, greater is he that is in you than he that is where? Now, the problem with that is we quote that, but we quote it as if, whatever money, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Those people don't, you leave them, they don't know. Me, greater is he. They make it sound like God be greater is he who is in you is just your private issue with God. Nobody knows how. No, actually, them that are with us being more than them that are with the enemy should be able to have a bearing in this tangible situation that we are in. You understand? In other words, if Daniel had an excellent spirit more than these magicians here, the question is, how is it having a bearing on what's going on? The king has said he wants an answer. The magicians are going to be killed, including Daniel, by the way. Now, if greater is he that is in him than is in the world is true, let us see it produce something here. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, it's a bit strange that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, but all the inventions are being made by non-believers. Hallelujah. Yet the Bible says God gives me the knowledge of witty inventions. Have you read that in Proverbs? The Bible says he makes us wiser than our teachers. That is not supposed to just be in the classroom. Hallelujah. When we go out in the world, it is true that the way Zuckerberg or whoever comes up with an algorithm is not the way you come up with it, but please come up with it. Hallelujah. If you're going to fast and pray, we need the algorithm. Hallelujah.
The other guy might go and spend nights cracking books and what and what. Meanwhile, you're telling us, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Atova, we shall do it. Then the non-believer comes up with the algorithm. I was watching something one time, and they were showing how in Second World War, the Germans had a very powerful encryption. Should I call it? No, a cipher. You know what a cipher is? Like a language in which you communicate coded messages. Like you communicate something that is not in the plain words. Like the words might be saying, take the dog to the market and bring back milk and what, but the message is actually saying the nuclear weapons are in the other mountain, they should be transferred at 4 p.m., something like that. So, as you know, different countries used to communicate, even in newspapers. Like you just buy a new vision, and you're reading, but they are talking about something else. So the language, that language comes from a system. They have to first create the system in which you communicate. In other words, when you write words, every fifth word is the word you take. Then every third word after the fifth word is the next, something like that. So the Germans had a language which they used to write it, they used to use what they call an Enigma machine. Now, the Western powers had tried to crack that thing and crack that thing and crack that thing until one time the British in some secret office of theirs or task force or something broke the Enigma code. Hallelujah. But in this story, this dramatization of what happened, the guy who cracked the Enigma machine was a homosexual. Now, I know greater is he that is in us, but that is the wrong time for a homosexual to do what? To do some to shine. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And I believe we don't have to be envious. We don't have to be cutthroat to actually overcome the world. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Even our faith. I believe that love is stronger than hate. I believe that humility is stronger than pride. I believe that all the things of God are stronger, except sometimes the reason why we don't shine in them is because we are still not yet men in understanding. We are children in those things. So when you say, I'm going to pray and God will tell me, many times, like when, have you ever had, many times when a crisis falls, believers will say, we are left for prayer and fasting. But they don't even really mean that they are going to pray or fast or either one. Hallelujah. They're just saying it like, it's like spiritual things are just supposed to happen. Auntie, God is in control. God is in control. It is well. Things will happen. All is good under God. No. Actually, that's not, when Daniel had the ultimatum of the king, he asked, please give me 3 days. And when he asked for 3 days, he really went to God and said, man, vagenda tuliao, you better make a move for us. Hallelujah. And the Lord instructed him what to do. Now, when he instructs you, now you can shine. You can even tell guys, put the tea on. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here. Hallelujah. Wisdom is what confounds wisdom. If you can't beat Goliath with the armor of Saul, you better know your 5 stones and your sling. Hallelujah. And now when you defeat the king, nobody cares whether you use the sling and 5 stones or a nuclear bomb. What matters is who won. Did God win or did evil win? Hallelujah. But I believe you can win. Hallelujah. And what I have learned, God does not work with necessarily you wearing yourself out and pulling ropes and doing what. But at least what I know, the Lord does not like people that give up easily. Hallelujah. If you can't do all that pulling ropes and what, at least you be a person that doesn't give up. One of the things that men of God from the Healing Revival talk about is when, let's say, hands are laid on you or someone prays for you, when you go back home, every time you think about it, say, when hands were laid on me on such and such a day, the power of God came upon me and it is working and it's going to produce a result. Hallelujah. And the man of God said, if you don't think about it, most likely it means you didn't get anything or you didn't even, really that wasn't a big issue for you. Because if you had a problem, I bet you're going to think about it in the morning. Like the king has said, he's going to kill all the wise men. I don't think Daniel thought about it in his free time. Hallelujah. He thought about it in the morning. He saw how they are going to cut off their heads. Like, no, Mukama, you have to do something for us. Hallelujah. Now, that's what I'm saying. At least if a believer can't do anything else, a believer should be tenacious. You should be able to think about your issue and how it's going to be solved. You may not know the answer, but you'll be like, Nahem, come. Chinaveda, how will it be? Will you send us a car? Will you send us money? Will someone call us? But Lord, we can't be in that place. This house has rats. It has mosquitoes. It has bed bugs. We have to get. How shall it? Will you make a way in the desert? Or you'll make the crooked path straight? Or will you bring streams out of the rock? I'm telling you, it will not be your free time hobby. It will be your full time occupation. We have to get out of Egypt. Hallelujah. And when it becomes like that, I bet that is when the Lord hears the cry. Says, I've heard the cry of my people. And I've come down to deliver them. Hallelujah. Now, that's what I believe one of the ways that you defeat things that are stronger than you, praise the Lord, is that you just don't give up. One man of God said, if you're sinking, you'd rather say, I'm sinking, but I am trusting in God. Hallelujah. Lester Sumrall said, some guy was telling him, what if you die believing God? He said, when I die, make an epitaph on my grave saying, here lies the man who died believing God. Whoa, hallelujah. I believe that is one of the things, men, you're tenacious. You don't give up. They tell you, I'm going to tell you something bad. Anyway, they tell you must come up with a solution. They tell you 2 weeks ahead of time. By the last day of the 2 weeks, you don't have the solution. But you die believing God. Ofira, hallelujah. In the morning, you're just waking up and you see the answer. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you an illustration. One time, Kenneth Hagin was praying with some ministers. And as he was praying, he kept saying, Miami, Miami. So among the ministers he was with, there was a pastor from Miami. So he told the minister that as he was praying, and he started saying this word impulsively in tongues, he saw a black mass, like a black smoke or something, coming out of the ground and evaporating. So then he told the man of God, the pastor from that place, and it turns out that this pastor had a church building, but it was not yet authorized because they needed parking land next to the property, and for that parking land to be approved, it had to undergo environmental impact assessment, you know, study. So the organization that does that in the USA is called, I think, the EPA. So they did studies on that land, and the land was so polluted, there had been a factory there. And the factory was dumping waste into the land, and the land became so contaminated. So it was condemned, and up to now they had no solution. So when this man was told Kenneth Hagin said he had seen a black mass coming out of the ground, the guy goes back to Miami, he gets the environmental people, they come and they test the land, and the land has no pollution whatsoever. Now, wisdom is justified by its what? The EPA guys told this pastor, do you think we can also do this on these other plots of land? Hallelujah. Now, that's what I mean. At that point, the EPA doesn't think it's foolishness. But now you see that this man of God wanted that land, probably was thinking about it day and night. That land, Mukama, that land is going. How can that land, you know? Hallelujah. And lo and behold, you're in some prayer meeting somewhere and you get the answer. Amen? So I am encouraging you that if you can't do anything else, at least be tenacious. Be the person who thinks about it in the morning, in the night. And every time you think about it, tell God, Lord, I am still on the other issue. We've done these other things, but yes, thank you. You gave me a promotion at work. I am grateful, oh Lord. But now the other land. Hallelujah. Now, that's how often wisdom comes. Wisdom comes to the diligent. It does not come to someone who is just there, you know, in their free time kind of thing. It comes to the diligent, the one that is on it and on it and on it and on it. Hallelujah. And then the Lord gives you a dream or a vision, or sometimes it's just an insight. And you remember like Esther, Queen Esther what was his name? Haman. And there's this crisis. So Queen Esther has a conundrum here. She cannot go to the king unless the king summons you. But the issue that they need help on is not an issue which is going to wait for the king to summon you. Hallelujah. You have to go to the king. Kuanga, it's an emergency. So she comes up. She gets an insight that let me tell the king that I want to make a banquet for him. Then we make a banquet for the king, and then we shall present our case. But then she tells Mordecai, you guys better pray and fast for me. Kuanga, this is serious. I can die. Hallelujah. Now, that's what I'm talking about now. Imagine if Mordecai was like the present-day Christians. Would say, yeah, I'll keep you in my prayers. Man, sometimes when you hear that statement, it's like it means the opposite. You hear it, but it just takes out your spirit. You know, like it says, all his spirit went out of him. Hallelujah. So I'll keep you in my prayers. No, that's not how Queen Esther is going to pass the test. Hallelujah. You better mean what you are saying. If you say we are going to fast and pray for the queen. And when they went there, and the queen started telling the king and so on, and said, oh no, Haman, go over. Man, he wants to finish us off. Say, what? Which, bring the guy here. What? And Haman had already been doing his own deals, preparing to lynch these people. And what was prepared for them lynched him instead. Hallelujah. He catches the wise in their what? But now you can't be wise the way Haman is. You have to have your other wisdom. But the wisdom, whichever way it's passing, it must arrive at an answer which cancels out Haman's things. That's what I told you. You may not know how to do what the witch doctor is doing. But you know how to, I bind, I cancel, fire. You know when you see us for local, at least we know the word fire. Someone says something you don't want, it's like fire, fire. at least in that fire thing, you be men. Hallelujah. In that thing of fire, let people know that oyomwala wagamba fire. You better get away, kuvanga, there is fire. In understanding, be men. You understand how your things work. Like Esther knew that these things work by prayer and fasting. Understand them and be men in those things. Now, that's when you fast like a man or a mature. Fast like someone who knows what you are doing. You know, I'm fasting ice cream, but I can drink quencha, or I can do what, you know. Like, be men. Hallelujah. And God is going to help us. Amen. God is going to, there is no restraint with the Lord to save by many or by few, but he will help us. And one key thing, I must say it again, by the Spirit of God, it is tenaciousness. You must be there on that topic, on that issue, day in, day out, day in. So when he says in Luke 18 that, see what the unjust judge says to this woman who keeps coming day and night. The king says, though I fear not God, O man, yet this woman will weary me by her coming, and says, I must give her what she wants. Then he says, now listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God avenge his own elect? Now notice what comes next. Who cry out to him, what? Day and night. That doesn't necessarily mean 24 hours, but it means, even if they woke you up out of sleep, and like, where am I? Have they increased my salary? And the thing of increasing your salary has become a thorn in your side, that even if someone just, you know, surprises you, it's like, when I but the money salary young, but so conveco, you know, first, hallelujah. That's what it means, crying out to him day and night. And then he says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, that used to puzzle me, because you're saying they are crying day and night. And he says that, will he not avenge them speedily, though he tarry long over them? That used to puzzle me, because you're saying, is it that you're going to avenge them speedily, or you're going to tarry long over them? Because these two things don't seem to reconcile. Is it long, or it is speedily? Actually, it is both. Why? In the sense that God will seem to not do anything until the last minute. Then on the last minute, he will act as if he has just realized there's a problem. And then now the guy who is in prison becomes, we say prime minister or second in command. The speed at which Joseph became second in command was so fast. You can't have it any faster than that. But it was after long. So after that, you actually realize, does it really matter how long it was? Maybe not. Hallelujah. Because if the result is the same, now that's what we believers need to take consolation in. That we need to take consolation in the fact that if I passed through Masaka to arrive in Kampala, and you passed, you know, Kololo or wherever, if we arrived in Kololo, what matters is we arrived, as in if all those paths were with God. Where I passed is where God was. Where you passed is where God was. We all arrived in Kampala. There are even chances I might arrive, what? I might arrive faster than you. Hallelujah. Because, man, I don't think they were less worthy candidates for that position than Joseph. Probably there are people who had been gradually being promoted, you know, until they were below the deputy. Then this guy jumped from where he was and became the deputy. Hallelujah. I was seeing something on news about Mwai Kibaki. As you know, he died recently, and they were talking about him. This man was an MP at the time Kenya got its independence, 1963. Then he was an MP for two terms, I think. Then he went to another place and became an MP for 40 years. And in all those times, he was some kind of cabinet. I don't know, finance minister or this and that, this and that. Then in 2002, he became the president. Now, he was a deputy president, I think, up to 1992. At some point, he was the equivalent of vice president. To 92, then he broke away and formed his own party and ran against the incumbent. And he lost two elections. Then he came back in 2002 and became the president. I was thinking to myself, 40 something, 1963 to 2002, isn't it like 49 years, something like that? And you were still there. You were really still there. You are still in this thing. I do not understand, the tenaciousness you have to have and the presence of mind to be like, same with Winston Churchill. And I think Winston Churchill was an MP for 40 years or 50 years. Now, that shows you that if what you want is what you really want and what God has led you to do is what he has really led you to do, I think what matters is if you win. Hallelujah. If you win, man, if you're 74, you're 69, you will have really won. Hallelujah. But don't think that all these years of Joseph being in the prison, the head of the prison, what he did in Potiphar's house and all, are therefore not important. That is the whole story, actually. That is our president. That is our prime minister. prime minister was there working in the prison. He was there in Potiphar's house. The prime minister had an assistant, and he interpreted the dream for his assistant, and the assistant, but the story continues. Now you see, after there, the prime minister did, praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe what matters is that you win. Hallelujah. And you're going to win. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let us give Hillary, Doc Hill, another big hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know that I can add anything else after that. And not to dim Hillary's light, not to steal his 5 minutes of fame with you to this morning. For you who didn't come on Thursday, for you, who was here on Thursday? What did we say? What did we agree? We agreed that we are going to pray. We are not going to give up. Glory to God. For the things that God hasn't clearly told us that Shino Chideke, you're going to be tenacious. You're going to do everything. If God tells you to give, give. And after you have done all things, you will stand. So today when Doc Hill, Brother Hillary, was saying we have to have the wisdom of God, not of the world, but we have to do our best. I remembered what we shared on Thursday. And therein lies hope and comfort for us. If there is any weary heart in this place, I hope you have been encouraged. Hallelujah. If you have been weary, if you came on Thursday and you've come today and you are weary, may this be that confirmation that, you know what, receive the grace to once again tandika, recharge the battery. Glory to God. Recharge that battery. Maybe you used to be on jump starting, but now today, I believe no more jump starting you. They jump start you on Monday, on Tuesday, you're just jump starting. But from today's sermon, from today's sharing, I believe the Holy Spirit has charged your battery to take you now, glory to God, more mileage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us clap for Hillary. Thank you so much.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.